Almost done with Philippians. It's a secret to being well supplied, part 2. Philippians 4, verses 19 and 20. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, in verses 14 through 18, which we did last week, Paul wrote concerning giving, and the secret to being well supplied is to give. The Bible says, give, and then it will be given unto you. And so that's part of it. We got to be willing to give. And there are times when we should give, and there are times when we may be on the receiving end of, the receiving end of the gift. And either way, though, we need to do both with grace. Give in grace, receive in grace. And Paul now turns his attention to God. How does God respond when we go about meeting the needs of others? And that's really, God is a responding God. I don't know if you know that or not. He responds to our prayer, responds to situations in our life, choices that we make. There's a response. What does the Bible say? You know, reaping and sowing, the law of reaping and sowing, that which you sow, that you shall reap from it. And a lot of how God works in our life, is a result of choice we make, a decision we make, and we say something, we do something, we act upon something, and he will respond accordingly. Sometimes that response is correction. You're not doing the right thing, and he will correct you, unless you're just super stubborn and won't receive the correction, and in which case he may take you out of here, which is an option. But if we are doing his will, many times there's blessing involved with that, and obedience. And so, God is a responding God. And this is a verse that probably, John 3:16 is, the verse, you might say, but this is a big one too, that a lot of people know. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And this is a promise from the God we serve. Because you realize when you help somebody, when you're giving of your time, your talent, your treasure, because giving is not, when we hear the word giving, we think about money, and that's part of it. But really, we give of our time, we give of our talent, our abilities. God gave us abilities to use in the kingdom. That list of workers, these are all people that have committed to serve God in a particular way according to their bent, according to their gifts as a person, how God created them and the talents that they have. And so we have that list up there of people, and we have these opportunities for people to serve in certain ways. And I could never really be a greeter, and because I know you won't believe this, but I don't like meeting new people. It's uncomfortable for me. It's some people just embrace everyone, and all that, and I do it because I'm the pastor, but it's not my gift, okay? But there's some people that just make you feel welcome, and. And, I remember Lee back there. I mean, she hugged every single person that would let her, And she just, because some people are like, whoa, this lady's hugging me, But for the most part, that's what she would do. And Dick was always back there with a handshake and a greeting. And that's just a gift. And of course, everyone can greet. I mean, we are able to, but God created some people with just that special ability to make you feel welcome and make you feel loved. And if you have that and you're not using it, that's a problem. Because God created you. You know, whatever your gift is, whatever your abilities are. And so we have this promise here that God will supply your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And that is quite a promise. Now, the key word in there is needs, because, you know, I got lots of wants, and but there's no verse. I can't find a verse that says God will just fulfill all your wants. Okay, because if that was the case, there'd already be a huge building here. Right? And a lot of other things that I want, you know, would be evident as well. And so, and in your lives as well. But no, He does promise, though, to meet our needs. But most of His promises, and we'll talk about this later, most of His promises, though, are conditional. You know, they're conditional. And some of the promises aren't, but a lot of, most of the promises are. If you will do this, then I will do that. And those are what we call conditional promises. But this is a marvelous promise, and it is a conditional one, as we're going to see. Okay, but my God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That is a promise from the God we serve. And there are five aspects to this promise. Five aspects to this promise. And the first one is, this promise is specific. And what I have there in your outline is, you've got the whole verse there in italics, I believe, if I remember right, in that right by every one of those 5 points is part of that verse. And if you read all those italics down, that's that whole verse. And the first part is my God. My God. You know, so many times we talk about God kind of as this big God, the sovereign God, the creator God, which He is all those things. And we even kind of talk about it in a group text, a group context of you know, our God, you know, this church and all that. But you know what? He is a personal God. And Paul wrote here, my God. And when we go to God, we're not just going to the God or a God. We are going to, if you're a believer, if you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to the personal God of the universe. That, yes, He created everything and holds it all together by such power we can't even imagine. Yet, He is personal. He knows you. He knows you better than you know yourself. And He wants to walk with you in an intimate way. And He wants to be involved in your life. And Paul wrote, my God, my true, one, personal, involved God in my life. If you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, He got involved with you right there. In fact, He dwells within you. Now, how more personal can it be that the God of the universe actually dwells within you? And He wants to have this relationship. And so this promise is specific. It's personal. It's to you. This promise is to you as a person. Many times I read scripture and I feel like, yeah, you know, He's promising the church, or it might work for John or somebody, but it's not going to work. This is for every one of us. It is a personal guarantee from God. This promise is specific. This promise is sure. It is sure. My God shall supply. My God shall supply. You know, it's not my God might supply, or my God could supply, or my God can supply. It is my God shall supply. You know, if I tell you, I'm going to come over and help you out with whatever, something at your house. I'll help you work on your car, okay, whatever. If I say, yeah, I'll come over and do that, that tells you something. And maybe if you know me well enough, you know I'll probably show up or most likely I'll be there. But if someone says to you, I shall come over and help you, or I shall be at the... That has impact that the other doesn't have. That is a declarative statement. I shall. And my God shall supply. What's interesting is when you look up this phrase in the Greek, one of the first definitions of it is cram. I did a double take. I'm like, really? Some learned scholar decided to use the word cram? But to cram... You know, it's not just, okay, yeah, I'll supply, you know, it'd be like someone, well, I'll help out with that. And they write a modest check or whatever. But no, this is talking about, I am going to stuff it full. It means to amply supply, more than needed, to fill up what is empty. It's the same word that's used in Matthew 5:17 by Christ himself when he said, I did not come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill it. I mean, Christ fulfilled the law in every way. He left nothing out. And it's the same word that Paul uses here to say that God will supply. He shall supply. This promise is sure. You can bank on it. This promise is sufficient. It's sufficient. My God shall supply all your needs. All your needs. Now you could say, well, I got a lot of needs. Well, he's sufficient. He's sufficient. Listen, this is in the context of giving. And you got to understand that. Where did you just get? This whole passage is about Paul was in prison and the Philippian church met his needs and supplied. And in the previous verse, he says, I've received everything in full. I have an abundance. I'm fully supplied. Having received from Epaphroditus that you provide, what you provided, a fragrant offering, acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your needs. He's speaking back to the church. You gave of yourselves. Sacrificed your things that you could have used for you to meet my need. And I'm telling you, because you did this, my God is going to meet your need, whatever it may be. Listen, when God moves on your heart, you come upon someone with need. Does God move on your heart in certain instances? I believe He does. And He causes compassion. You look upon someone and you have compassion on them. And then He prompts us to get involved. Remember last week I talked about the Good Samaritan. And we talked about how the Pharisee just kind of looked. And then the Levite came and he walked over and was interested. The Pharisee inspected. The Levite was interested. He was interested enough at least to walk over to that guy that was beaten up on the side of the road and left for dead. And he looked at him, but then he walked on. But then the Samaritan came and got involved. God moved on his heart. And he picked that guy up. He put oil in his wound, bandaged him up, put him on his animal, took him somewhere, and then left some money there for the guy to take care of him till he came back. This guy got involved. And when God does that in your heart, uses our sacrifice to help others, He won't forget you in your need. You gave of yourself, you gave of your ability, your talent, your treasure, whatever it might be, to help somebody, and you did it because God moved on your heart. He's not going to forget you. He will supply what you need. God's committed to seeing that the giver does not suffer because he gives. Now, we're going to get into motive. You know, you can't just say, well, God's going to take care of me, so I'm just going to do this. And he's, you know, no, motive is involved, okay? But he is committed to see that someone, that God has touched their heart and you acted on that and you gave, he is going to see that you don't suffer because of what you gave. You cannot outgive God, folks. You need to get a hold of that. He will not be in debt to anyone. He owes no one anything. He owes no one anything. If you give on his behalf, my God shall supply all your needs. So this promise is sufficient. It's sufficient. This promise is secure. I like this one. It's secure. According to his riches in glory. And you know what I like about this? You know, when I give something and when you give something, and you know, you may not call yourself rich, but you're pretty rich. You know, go around the world and you're going to realize you're pretty rich. But when we give out of our riches. You know, if I got $100 in the bank and I see someone with a need and I go, okay, here's $20. Well, I gave out of my $100 that I have. Okay? I gave out of my riches. Those kind of riches are limited. You can exhaust them. They can be used up. You know, like the banks that you know, you see these advertisements for these different, especially the big banks. You know, come put your account with us. We are secure because we have $5 billion in assets. Okay? But, so that means if they gave away $5 billion, they'd be out of money. So even if they have $5 billion in assets or whatever it is they have these days, they can run out. But God doesn't give out of his riches. He gives according to his riches. That's a whole different ball game. How rich is God? Does he not own it all? The universe and everything in it? And we can't even find the end of the universe. It appears to be infinite. I mean, it just goes and goes. Every time they think they count the stars, they get a better telescope or whatever, and they find more. God gives according to his riches. And when you have it all, when you are infinite, he's an infinite being, he can't run out. Isn't that good? No matter how much he gives, he can't run out. He's not limited. His resources are not exhaustible. He can't use it up. It is secure. This promise is as secure as any promise you'll ever find. Because he doesn't give out of his riches, he gives according to his riches. And last time I checked, he owned it all. The fifth aspect to this promise is that this promise is supernatural. It's supernatural. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches. I'm glad it's not according to my riches. You know, a lot of times we serve God, we do it out of our riches. No, it's according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. What did Jesus do? I mean, you know, what does this mean? You know, what does that mean? He gives, you know, according to his riches and glories in Christ Jesus. Well, you just got to look at Jesus. Jesus says, let me borrow your boat. And Jesus gets on this boat because there was all these crowds. And he says, let me borrow your boat. I mean, it doesn't say that in the scripture, but he had to borrow the boat. And he gets on the boat and preaches the sermon. Then later on, that boat catches 153 fish. He says, cast your net over the side. You catch anything? No, we fished all night. Nothing happened. Cast your net on the other side. And it was so full, it was breaking the nets. You know, let God use your boat, and you'll have a great catch. Does God want to use your upper room? I need to borrow an upper room. And Jesus used the upper room. And they had the Lord's Supper. And then later on, they were in another upper room. After the resurrection, right? And after the ascension, 120 people go in this room. And the Holy Spirit comes down and fills them. Let me borrow your upper room and I'll fill your house with my glory. What about your lunch? Some little kid has some bread loaves and some fish. And there's 5,000 men and their families on a hillside hungry. And a kid sacrifices his lunch, and God feeds a stadium full of people out of that kid's lunch. And there was 12 baskets left over, full. Give him your boat and let him break your nets. Give him your upper room and let him fill you with his Spirit. Give him your lunch and watch him feed a community. Give him the broken pieces of your life. And let him restore you and use you in ways you never thought possible. You may say, I don't have much to give. Well, just give him what you got. I look in the mirror and see this vessel and I'm like, God got a bad deal. He does all this for me, and what do I got to give him, really? I know who I am. I know the things I've said and done and thought. But I love the verse in Isaiah where he says it gives you beauty for ashes. Give him the ashes of your life and watch him make something beautiful out of it. And use it to impact who knows what. That's the promise. That's what this promise is about, folks. And it drives Paul to write verse 20. The praise, we have the promise from the God we serve, and now the praise due the God we serve. And he writes this verse, and I think he perhaps, because he knows who he was, right? He was the one that persecuted the church. He was responsible for people dying. He was breaking up families, throwing people in prison. He knows who he was. And now God's using him to write these letters that become part of Scripture, that, and the things that he did, the miracles that God worked through him and the churches he started and all the fruit that came from Paul. And we're still reaping the benefits of his words today. And he knows who he is, and I think he just got moved. And he writes this verse, and I'm sure he probably understood it better than any of us. And he says, and it just drives him to praise. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. He just had to break into praise. And he considered two things, I believe, in this. He says, now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So be it, he says. So be it. But the first thing is we praise Him for His character. We praise God for His character. You know, you could praise me for my character. It would probably be more appropriate to say you are a character. You know? But God's character, He is holy. And He's perfect. And He's good. And He's truth. And He's loving. And He's faithful. And I could go on and on and on. He is all those things. You never got to worry about what kind of mood He's going to be in tomorrow. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. You don't have to be in doubt. Man, wouldn't you just love to work with a whole bunch of people like that?
Amen.
Would you like to be married to a person like that? That you know what to expect the next morning when you get out of bed, right? Sometimes we're angels and sometimes we're not. But man, we praise Him for His character. Because He's the same God now that He was when Paul wrote these words, that He was when Moses served Him, all the way back to Adam and Eve. Same God, same character, same truth, same attributes, all those things. He never wavers. He doesn't get up on the wrong side of the bed. He doesn't change the rules. You know, you don't have to. You ever go to work and they change the rules? That's terrible. It's like, man, I worked all these years to get good at doing it this way. Now you're making me do it some other way. God never changes the rules. Praise Him for His character. He's the almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful God. And that never changes. All-loving. All-caring. Which is really the next one. You know, we praise Him for His character, but we praise Him for His care. He says, I like how Paul wrote this. He says, now to our God, Yahweh, the great God, the creator God, and Father. Father. To our God and Father. If you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, He has adopted you into His family, and you can crawl into His lap and call Him by name, Abba, Father, Daddy. There's a lot of people that, you know, maybe your dad wasn't a daddy, or maybe you don't even have a daddy. You know, there's a lot. Big problem in our country today is a lack of fathers. It's huge. But you know, when God saves you, now you have a father again. And He's a good father. And maybe, you know, you didn't have the relationship with your dad that you wanted or needed or whatever. But this Father, you can have a relationship. And He'll never treat you wrong. And He'll never make a mistake. You know, you always think, you look back on when you were punished as a kid, you know, and it was like, I didn't do it, you know. Mom and Dad made a mistake. I got convicted falsely. And then, you know, years later, you know, I told my mom that, and she said, well, you're probably guilty of something else anyway. So you just consider that spanking for the other thing you did that you got away with, you know. I mean, she had no remorse at all, you know. Oh, I'm sorry, we shouldn't have punished you for that. No, it was like, eh, you did other things, you know. But He's a God that we can have intimate relationship with. I mean, come on, He sets up house within you. How more intimate can it be? And if you're not intimate with God, it's not because of Him. How much time do you, if you're intimate with someone, you typically spend time with them, right? How much time you spend with them? You want them to be your dad? You got to spend time with them. It's interesting, there's a verse in the Bible that says, draw near unto God and He will draw near to you. It's not the other way around, folks. God's a responding God. Remember what I said at the beginning? If you want God to be near to you, draw near to Him. But you know what's cool? He covers the ground. You know, you could be this far from God. This could be God. This could be you. And you might be able to move this far, but you know what? You start moving towards Him, He'll just come and bring you on in. He'll do the part you can't do. We praise Him for His character. We praise Him for His care. He's our Father. He saved us. He adopted us. And we have relationship. And when you have that relationship, there's nothing better. It's the best. Many Christians quote verse 19 out of context. They use this verse to, when they're in a tight spot, they think God's just going to bail them out. Oh, God's just going to supply my need. Yeah, I went and wasted all the money that He allowed me to make because I have certain ability and I have a job and He allowed me to make this money, but I squandered it on some, and now I got all these needs. Well, my God's going to supply all my need. That is not how it works. Remember that reaping and sowing stuff? You sowed that, you're going to reap it. And the problem is for us is many times our families pay the price for that, men. When we do something foolish, it doesn't just affect us. And that's true for all of us. It affects the people around us as well. And a lot of Christians will quote this verse, but that's not what it's talking about. We must understand that having our needs met is directly related to being a good steward of God's provision in the first place. And I put in there, it's not on your sheet, but parentheses, time, talent, and treasure. Are you a good steward of your time? Are you a good steward of the abilities that God has given you? Are you using them the way He would have you use them? And then treasure the money, okay, whatever, be a good steward of that as well. But the point being, if you're squandering your time, squandering your ability, squandering your resources, you really think God's going to bail you out in those areas? He's going to try and teach you a lesson to make you responsible in those areas. So this verse isn't like a get out of jail free card. Oh, well, yeah, I blew all that, but God's going to, God's got my back. No, God's going to try and work with you to get you to understand you need to change some things. And He'll bring you down that road if you let Him. I had my t-shirt on this weekend at camp, my favorite John Wayne t-shirt with his quote. It says, life is hard, but it's harder if you're stupid. when we are stupid with our time, talent, and treasure, it just gets harder, folks. I mean, it's hard anyway, but when you're dumb and you just waste it, it just gets harder. And God's not going to bail you out of that. Think about Jonah. He was running directly away from God, right? It just got harder and harder, right? Gets on a boat, big storm. And he knew, all I got to do is go back, just tell these guys, take me back. I believe the storm would have just stopped so that he could go back and do the thing God wanted him to do. Well, no, but he was stubborn. He goes, you know what? I do not like these people so much. In fact, I hate these people so much. I don't want them to hear the word of God. And so I am willing to die. And he tells the guys, throw them overboard. And they did. And he died. Now, some people may disagree with me on that, but I believe he died. He drowned. You read Jonah carefully. His head was bobbing around in the seaweed. And then God caused a fish to come, swallow him. And remember what Jesus says? He says, the only sign I'm going to give you is the sign of Jonah. And in 3 days, Jonah was coughed up on the shore. And in 3 days, Christ was resurrected. I think he died. And I think God said, you know what? You are not getting out of my will. I'll bring you back to life, sucker. And you're going to go preach. God can do these things, okay? That may be a different spin on Jonah than you ever heard, but... And I got no word of Jonah on here at all. I don't know where that came from. But anyway. But when God has given you abilities, time, treasure, talent, you need to use them for him. And he'll respond. Let me get back to my train of thought. Do not think that God is obligated to meet your needs just because you are a believer. God will supply the needs of those whose sacrifices are worshipful, acceptable, and well-pleasing. Where did I get that? Verse 18. Verse 19 is a response to verse 18. He says, I've received from Epaphroditus what you provided, a fragrant offering. We talked about this last week. A fragrant offering, incense, you know, worship has to do with incense in the house of the Lord. And an acceptable sacrifice. They would sacrifice, representing Christ's sacrifice. That was part of worship. And that those are all pleasing to God. Okay, so, and he's saying, if you do this thing, if your sacrifice is worshipful, acceptable, and well-pleasing to God, then my God will meet your needs. That's what this is saying. Most of God's promises are conditional. Some of them aren't. God so loved the world. He loves unconditionally, doesn't he? Doesn't matter how bad you are, no matter what you've done, whatever your track record is, he loves you. Another promise to the Christian, I will never leave you or forsake you. Doesn't say if you're a good person. Just simply says, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's a promise. So no matter how far you backslide, you're still saved. No, you're going to be embarrassed when you come before the Creator. And like it talks about in Corinthians when he says, yeah, all their works burned up, but they were saved. But he says, this is conditional. Do these things, and my God will. You cannot expect to receive the blessing without meeting the conditions. Read Deuteronomy 28 sometime, the whole chapter. It's all conditional. At the beginning, it says, if you follow my commands and do all these things, then I will bless you, and I'll bless your children, I'll bless your cattle. It talks about all these things he'll bless, the work of your hands, the labor, the fruit, and all this stuff. It really bothers me, though, because that's a long chapter, and it's like 28 verses of blessing, and then it's like 70 verses of cursing. Because it says, if you don't obey me, and you don't do these things, and I'll curse your children, and curse this, and curse that. And he's a responding God. It's in our hands, in other words. You respond to God the way he asks, he'll respond to you. You draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. But you can't expect to get a blessing without meeting the conditions. The first part of the secret to being well supplied is to give. You give. Give and it will be given to you. Of course, with the right motive. Okay? But the second part is to trust that the Lord who moved you to give will also provide for your needs. Whether we give or receive, because sometimes we receive, but whether we give or receive, we give God the glory. Because in the end, it was all Him anyway. You know, where'd you get the resources to give? Well, God enabled you to get them. Okay? In the end, it was all Him. He was the one that, in a sense, created the need. He was the one that, in a sense, you know, He created your desire to help. He moved your heart to try and help somebody. So, yeah, if I obey Him and some good comes out of it, I am glad I did that, but praise the Lord, because it was all Him. He created it. He enabled me to have it. And He moved on my heart to give it, whatever it might be. Whether it's my time, my talent, my treasure, it's all Him. And then He's responsible for the result. You ever give something to somebody and because God told you to, and then they didn't do with it what you thought they should? You ever do that? Yeah, a lot of nodding heads. Are your gifts conditional? Well, I gave that to you so that you would do this. Well, then you didn't give it to them. Because if I gave it to you, right, it's yours. And then since I gave it to you and it's yours, and it, you can do with it what you want. But we like to, you know, keep the gift by remote control. Okay, I gave you that whatever, and now I want to control you. What they need to be is controlled by God, not you. If you give a gift, give it. Okay? And if you can't give it and let them have it, then don't give it. But whether we receive or give, we give God the glory because you know what? It's all Him. He's our God. And then I ended with amen. So be it. You know, when you give a gift, so be it. Person's going to use the gift, so be it. God, you know, if they're misusing your gift, God knows that. And He's perfectly able to teach them a lesson in some way, shape, or form in His time. You know, when you give your money here, you don't get to control it. It goes in the treasury and we write checks and we do things and we have ministries and whatever. You know, you give it, it's God's. Now, those that make those decisions, myself and the council and different people, we are responsible to Him. And if we don't handle it right, God is well able. God is well able to govern His church. So be it. So my question now is, do you have a need? Do you have a need? There may be someone here today that your biggest need is the biggest need that all of us have had, which is we need to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That is the number one need of humanity. And do you have a need? It can be met today. But it's conditional. It's another one of those conditional ones. Romans chapter 10. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's conditional. If you don't believe, you're not going to be. But if you do believe, you will. Because God is faithful. And He does what He says He's going to do. Maybe someone like that here today. For the rest of us, how's your obedience? God has given you a certain amount of time, certain amount of ability, certain amount of possessions, provisions, money, whatever you want to call it? Are you in obedience to Him? Are you, you know, is God having His way in those areas of your life? How's your stewardship? How's your obedience? How's your faith? That's what the invitation's about today. We're also going to have the Lord's Supper immediately after the invitation. And when we have this invitation, it's an opportunity for you to make things right with God. It's an opportunity for you to, if God has pricked your heart in some way, to deal with Him. But we're going to have the Lord's Supper, and the Bible cautions us to be clean. Not perfect, but clean. Make things right with Him. And that this invitation will be for that as well. So if we can have every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to give people freedom to respond. Is there anyone here today that you have that biggest need? You have a need of Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. You need to make that commitment. When you slip your hand up, I just want to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. You have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to take care of that this morning. It's up to you. But if you respond, God will respond to you. Absolutely, He will. For the rest of us, how many would say, Brother Mike, this area of time and talent and treasure, God has kind of pricked my heart in one of those areas. And I need to be more sensitive to what He wants me to do in these areas. Anybody like that? I need to obey in a greater way. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before You. I come before You on behalf of these. Lord God, there are some that have the greatest need. There are some that need to accept Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. And Lord God, I pray You'd move on their heart. I pray You would drive them forward, Lord. That You could meet that need. And Lord, I pray for all of us, Lord. We all battle the clock. We battle our calendars. We battle the amount of money that we have. We battle how best to spend our time. How best to use our abilities for You. God, give us wisdom in those areas. Lord, help us to make wise decisions. And Lord, give us the faith to change some things in our life if that's what You're calling us to do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This is your time. This is your time of response. If you need prayer, if you want to make a decision, you come forward and do so. If God is moving on your heart in some way, you do business with Him. This is your opportunity right now. Take advantage of it. Father, Lord God, we come before You, a grateful people. Lord God, I pray that we would be concerned with our time, our talent, our treasure, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would seek Your face regarding those areas. And Lord, with open hearts, hearts that are open to You moving some stuff around in there, changing some of our priorities perhaps. Lord God, help us to be a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to You in our service. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.